Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his work. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. There are, as you know, no coincidences in God. And God waited a long time when Cardinal O'Connor was suffering to come for him. And he came on this day because God in his providence wanted that every time we come together to pray for Cardinal O'Connor to the Father, to remember Cardinal O'Connor and thank him for all the graces, the charism that he gave him, that we would be doing so on this day, pondering Saints Philip and James and hearing these readings. Why do we celebrate Philip's and James together? The historical reason is because they were buried together in the Church of the Holy Apostles in Rome in the 9th century. And so for almost 1,200 years, we have been celebrating their feast together. Much like in October, we celebrate the feast of St. Simon and Jude on October 28th, because that was the day that they were both reinterred together in an altar at St. Peter's. But there's a certain fittingness to celebrating them together. Even though we celebrate the other seven of the original apostles and St. Matthias on their own individual feast day. Because when Jesus was sending his apostles out, he sent them out two by two. And it's very possible that Philip and James would have been partnered when they were sent out. If it's important for cops to have partners, how much more important it is for us as livers of the way, as proclaimers of the truth, likewise to have partners. St. Gregory the Great asked in the late 500s, why did Jesus make the choice to send them out two by two? They could have covered twice as much ground if he had sent them out solo. St. Gregory answered the question by saying, so that they could actually live what they were proclaiming. Jesus was calling us to love one another. They had to love each other. Jesus was calling us to forgive as the Father forgives. They need to forgive each other. Jesus was having them announce peace, that peace they needed to see, kind of tangibly reigning in their own relationship. Jesus didn't come to save us individually. came to save us as a family. He came to save us in relationship. He came to call himself our friend. So all of these communal realities matter and are constitutive in our faith. From the first time he was sending them out in the waves of the proclamation of the gospel, he was sending them out in tandem. It's one of the first things we should think about on their feast day. Is, am I a lone ranger? Or am I grateful for the partners that God has given me? They're not necessarily going to be like the greatest tennis doubles partner you've ever had. When I used to play tennis with my twin brother, I mean, we could anticipate exactly what the other partner would do. It's not always going to be that way. Some of the times, because God loves us, he'll send us out in tandem with someone who sanctifies us through mortification. But God does have other people in mind for us. We're not sent out just one by one. With the vast majority of disciples, he sends them out married. But for us, we really have to ask the question, who are the friends that the Lord has placed in my way? Or placed, not as an obstacle to me, but as a partner for me. How can I collaborate more? Second thing we learn is from today's first reading. St. Paul says, I passed on as of the first importance what I myself had received. What's that? The very gospel in which he was being saved, the very word to which he was holding fast. All in the present tense. The greatest gift that St. Paul was able to give to others was that very gift that he himself received, which is not just words, not just a message, because the gospel is ultimately a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so St. Paul was passing on to others the gift of that relationship that he himself, without merit, had received. That even though he used to kill Christians for a living, Jesus, even though he was one untimely born, or born abnormally, as it says here, the real word in Greek means abortion, one born dead. Even though that was what his state was, God revivified him and bore such incredible fruit through him. And he wanted everybody to enter into that same bond. And he passed it on as if the greatest gift he could give, as the greatest priority he had in life. Third thing we learn, it's about Philip and James, that they themselves were constantly trying to bring people into this relationship with the Lord. As soon as Philip met Jesus, what did he do? He ran to his friend Nathanael to bring Nathanael to meet the Messiah. Little did Philip recognize that God's plan from all eternity was to make Nathanael Bartholomew, another one of the apostles. He just brought Nathanael to Jesus, and that's what Jesus did. Likewise, after Jesus had been preaching forever, which is a good mandate for all preachers to follow, but nevertheless, when Jesus was preaching on, and the people hadn't eaten for a really long time, it was Philip who brought the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. And then Jesus took it and worked a great miracle. That miracle we would read about today on the Friday of the second week of Easter if we didn't have a feast, supplanting the ordinary reading of the Easter cycle. And then we had those Greeks who were seeking to see Jesus. And who they go to? They went to Philip, who was a great bridge builder. And Philip brought them to meet Jesus. And that's when Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. That was the trigger for Jesus' hour. All Philip was doing was bringing people into relationship with Jesus. But every person he brought into relationship with Jesus was significant, not just in that person's life, but for Jesus' plan of salvation. Likewise, there's no insignificant person we ever introduce to Jesus. Similarly, James the Lesser, whom we mark today, became the first leader of the Christians in Rome after the apostles were sent out. He was the one who stayed as the focal point around whom people could have that relationship with Jesus. And when Paul and Barnabas went on up to talk with him and Peter and the others about what was happening with the Gentiles, their whole thrust was not to toss the Mosaic law at them. Their whole thrust was to bring them into this deeper relationship with the Lord. And they weren't going to be saved by the Mosaic law. So James and Peter and the others sent Paul and Barnabas back with the most minimal conditions, rejoicing that the Gentiles too had come to know salvation through this loving bond with the Savior. What does all of this have to do with Cardinal O'Connor? Cardinal O'Connor was one who never worked alone. When he had that experience in Dachau, he needed a family with him. So we follow Jesus. And Jesus did something extraordinary with that episode. He was one whose whole life was about passing on as of the greatest importance of what he himself had received. And even as he was suffering, he was continuing to proclaim the gospel. He was one who was constantly trying to bring people into relationship with the Lord, even though most on the periphery, most seemingly unwilling to hear, those with the most hardened hearts. Why? Because this is the most important thing of the readings today. He was in relationship with Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. He tried to follow Jesus' way. He believed in and tried to pass on the truth Jesus is and enunciated. And he wanted what Jesus wanted, that all might come to have life to the full through their relationship with the Lord Jesus. And in response to the culture of death, he wanted to show people that there was a much better way, based on the truth of who we are revealed by God, and that life is always a gift. Philip and James were present at that first Eucharist, in which the way, the truth, and the life made that way, that truth, and that life enfleshed and allowed us to enter into communion with him in all of those ways. And then from that upper room, Jesus would send them out 53 days later to bring the whole world into relationship with him. The Mass was the root and the center, the source and the summit of the life of Cardinal O'Connor. And it's from his contact with Jesus that at the altar that the Sisters of Life were ultimately born. Today, as we give God thanks for all the graces he's given to Cardinal O'Connor, for the charism of life that you share, we beg the Lord to help us to receive a double portion of that Spirit, so that we too may, together with each other who have received similar charisms, go out and announce as of the first importance that relationship we have received and in which we stand, so that others might come to know Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and experience that salvation that the Church never ceases to offer to the world. Jesus says today that he goes to the Father, and whoever believes in him will do even greater works. And the greatest of all works is this one we do on his memory.